pitch to the Center Circle studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
We've got more champions to add to the honor roll of immortality for 2020. We'll tell you who has won big. Promotion and relegation, what goes up sometimes goes back down. We'll have a chit-chat about that. Brody Scott joins me for world soccer news in just a bit. But first, we're heading to the pitch. And this time we're taking our water bottle because it's out on the hot turf. It's goalkeeper Kyle Morton of St. Louis FC, last year's goalkeeper of the year finalist. And that all starts right now on My Three Subs. Roll that hot music.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Thrilled to have with us today one of the best goalkeepers in all of the USL Championship. We're joined today by St. Louis FC goalkeeper Kyle Morton. Kyle, thanks for joining me on the podcast today. How are you?
Good, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
It looks like, just like the weather in St. Louis has been heating up, you guys have been heating up off to a hot start. 3 wins in 4 matches, back-to-back clean sheets against two very tough opponents, and we'll talk about Group E as we go along. But how are things going for you guys in training this week? I know you guys have just been blowing and going. Are you guys still feeling the momentum?
Yeah, of course. I think whenever you have two back-to-back wins and 2 wins against two good opponents, training gets a little bit more intense because everybody wants to play, and you can see how confident the guys are now, and it'll be good for the upcoming games.
Now, you came to St. Louis FC from Pittsburgh Riverhounds, goalkeeper of the year finalist last year. You guys set a league record last year with almost 700 minutes without conceding a goal. So you come from a back four, back three, depending on the night, very, very tough. And it looks like a lot of that is carrying into this year. Can you talk about maybe just a little bit of the transition moving into your new team? Because it doesn't look like you nor have your defense missed much of a beat at all.
Yeah, I think it's tough when you go to a new environment with new players. You got to learn from each other. And I think especially this year when you have a preseason, you play one game and then you have the league kind of get canceled for the 4 months there. You can't really develop any chemistry with anybody. And I think these last couple games in the last, eight, nine weeks now that we've been back together, we've kind of developed a good chemistry. And having Toby Adewale, who was with me at Pittsburgh, came over as well, definitely helps a lot. And then you have Sam Fink and Fanyo Kavita and Jeremy Gagnon-Laferre and Paris G. And they've played together for two or three years now. And I feel like me and Toby have kind of stepped in, and it's just been going really well right now.
And I don't want to take it lightly, because the two back-to-back matches where you guys have kept a clean sheet were against Louisville City and, of course, an exciting match over the weekend against Indy 11. I know Tyler Pasher came on for the final 30 minutes, but they have so many weapons, and you guys were going pretty much in a back-to-back, very fast-paced match. I was really impressed with how disciplined your club was, and you stood up firm against Indy 11, who many have said, and I know it's still too, but it's still very early. Many have said they are the ones to chase in the Eastern Conference. Can you talk a little bit about that match? That was an outstanding game.
Yeah, I mean, Indy's a good team, and you could see just from top to bottom in the roster and how good they are. And we played them in preseason, and they were just a good team then. And then when we played them the first game after the resume of play, I think they maybe had one or two preseason games going into that game, and we had one preseason game that got canceled because of testing and all that stuff, so we kind of went in blind. And they're a really good team, and if you make a mistake, they're going to hurt you, just like they showed on the first game of coming back and when they beat us 2-0. But this past Sunday, we were really, really good defensively. And I think just with the new season kind of starting back up, I think defensively is the – or being defensive is kind of the main priority, because the offensive stuff will start to click maybe later on in the season. And we've taken our chances really well, and we're just really glad to win 1-0.
you've got a match in hand. You'll play this weekend against Memphis 901 FC in Memphis. But my goodness, I know that you came from Pittsburgh and you had your first match against Miami FC. But ever since then, I mean, you guys have been running quite the gauntlet. I know at the beginning of the season, you guys were preparing for a marathon. Can you talk a little bit about coming back from the stoppage of play and having to prepare for a sprint and looking at Group E?
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Group B, it's probably three top seven or eight teams in one group, and then you have Swope Park, and they've even showed that they've been a good test for Indy and Louisville, even though we haven't played them yet. But I know when we came back and they announced the schedule and how many games, it wasn't a, oh, let's get into the season and see where it takes us. It was instead like, this is a sprint to the finish now. We're not looking at this as a big season. It's a back half type of season. And we knew that all the results at the beginning of the 16 games are going to be important. And you can see the desire in the guys to win games.
You know, Sam Fink was killing it on social media during the shutdown. I thought he was one of your best guys on the club, you know, getting out there and having some challenges for the kids and everything. And quite a bit of the team stayed very much in the public eye during the shutdown. But also during that time, that had to be a difficult time. While you had some fun maybe with some social media, but staying physically and emotionally prepared and up for, you know, being a player and waiting for, you know, when is our next game? You know, are we going to have a next game this year? Can you talk a little bit about the early stages of the shutdown, especially being a goalkeeper, where we can see videos of guys juggling the ball and they did the toilet paper challenge and everything. But for you, it's more of a specialized training. So how did you stay, you know, physically and mentally sharp during the early stages of the shutdown?
Yeah, I think mentally it's the mental aspect of the shutdown was probably the toughest thing, because there was rumors of not even having a season. And to be able to be in peak physical condition is tough when you not really know when your next game is, like you said. And I know I didn't do too much goalkeeping because you weren't really allowed to be around in the field or any of the coaches and stuff. So kind of, I almost just took it as a couple month time away and just focus on other things and get away from soccer. And when they did announce us coming back, it was just full steam ahead, 100% in it. And I mean, it's been working out well for all the guys. And as a goalkeeper, it takes 3 or 4 weeks to get back into it. But our coach Brian Jones and the other goalkeeper here, John Berner, have been fantastic, and the standard of the sessions have been really, really good.
Would you mind maybe sharing just a little bit of inside info about the club? I mean, who were the leaders during that time? I mean, I assume you guys had kind of a close-knit network of folks checking in on each other, because, I mean, if you're quarantined, and a lot of guys don't normally live in St. Louis County around the stadium or even close by, you know, what kind of a support group did you guys have?
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, we have really good leadership on this team with Sam Fink, Daniel Cavita, Kyle Gregg. And honestly, it's one of those teams where everybody has a voice. It's not just three or four guys that are speaking up, but with a diverse team, everybody is kind of going back to their hometown, and some people are staying and training. But we had these weekly Zoom calls that I'm sure most of the teams had as well, just to kind of keep everybody engaged and keep everybody together and just make sure that everybody's all right, honestly. And I think it definitely helped out just seeing everybody's face from time to time, and it was really good.
You mentioned a couple of moments ago that you kind of stepped away just a little bit from the intense training of goalkeeping and maybe just did some other things. You learn anything new during the shutdown? Any new recipes, or did you do any DIY stuff?
Not too much, but I learned that I'm still not good at golf. I'll tell you that much. I still can't get underneath par or anything. So that's one thing I've learned.
Well, you know, hey, a bad day at the golf course is better than a good day in a lot of other things, though. So not bad.
Exactly.
Where do you play up there? Do they have a lot of good public courses?
Yeah, they have a bunch here. One of those things where you just kind of find a deal for the day and go out. And we had so much free time that we were probably playing two or three times, and still able to social distance from everybody, which is really nice. And just being able to be outside with a couple of guys was good.
We're talking St. Louis FC, and we're talking Grouponing too, apparently, with Kyle Morton, goalkeeper for St. Louis FC. And as the USL started to make the announcement, okay, now you can start training in small groups and then in larger groups, you had what, maybe 3 weeks tops to get back and ready for the sprint. Can you talk a little bit about how Coach Trichu was in getting you guys ready to jump right back into a very tough group?
Yeah, I think the coaching staff was great with Steve and Max and with Brian Jones as well. They set up these sessions even when we were in small groups of four, to where we could still get our fitness and just get touches. And they outlined it from the start that it wasn't going to be a long season. And even at that time when we were in the small groups, we weren't even sure if we were going to have the season. So just to see them, how upbeat they were and how positive they were during the sessions, it was really good for our spirits, honestly, kind of going in, because you're training with no expectation of a game anytime soon. So just their leadership and their positivity and their minds that work together to provide good sessions where we're still excited to go in and play soccer is, I think it's kind of paying off now.
You know, I know with you coming up through Philadelphia Union's robust system, and then of course you spent, you know, a few years in PDL. I mean, you've always been a doer. You've been very active, been working on sharpening your game, not knowing exactly when or if you're going to play. How much discipline did it take for you, or did you learn some great things about yourself during the shutdown once you started to get back into the swing of things? And it's like, okay, you know, I'm making sure I'm eating right, or hey, you know, I'm doing these exercises that I need to do. Can you talk a little bit about maybe something that you just learned about yourself?
Yeah, I think for most of the guys, at least, there's only maybe 2 or 3 months of the calendar year that you're not playing soccer. And now that you have a taste for the first game when we beat Miami and then it gets shut down, you just realize how much soccer meant to you. And I know for myself, I was still trying to get more in shape, and I lost about 20 pounds during quarantine, and just finding the love for the game and knowing that it's still there, and just the drive to, even though we don't have a game in sight, kind of still develop things that I can use to when we do come back. I found out about myself that I was just determined to improve and how much I enjoyed the game.
Wait, you lost weight? Everybody did the quarantine 15. You went the other way?
Yeah, I had to. I was I had a good conversation with the goalkeeper coach in Pittsburgh, and he said, look, why don't you try to lose a couple pounds? And I could even feel it last year in Pittsburgh, where maybe I wasn't able to save some of the balls that I've saved before, and just had a deep conversation. It was like, look, why don't you try losing weight? And I thought to myself, if why not just try it and see how it goes, and if it doesn't go well and you lose too much weight or it doesn't help your game, then maybe go back the other side. But yeah, I lost about 22 or 23 pounds, I think, in quarantine. So and I feel like it's improving my game, so I'm happy with it right now.
Hey, congratulations. I think my co-host and I might have found a few of those pounds that you lost. So, hey, you know, they say, I guess in the laws of physics, no matter is ever lost or created. It all balances out one way or another. You know, for our audience, you know, without doing a deep dive or anything, can you maybe mention something, you know, was it something dietary or was there an exercise change that you did?
Honestly, it was just consistency, both diet and exercise. In Pittsburgh, it was kind of a stressful environment, and Bob Lilly is a tough coach, and there's just stress involved, and some days you don't feel like doing anything. But this year, I kind of just dove deep into the diet and increased my exercise and just kind of ate clean, and could see the benefits after a couple of weeks and just how I felt and how my body felt, and I just kept continuing on with it.
I know, and I really liked watching your brother play, too, your brother Todd, a goalkeeper, too. Did you guys have some chats during the downtime and getting back? Was he, you know, was he somebody that you could kind of lean on regarding, you know, getting ready and getting in fighting shape?
Yeah, of course. I mean, when you have a brother that's a goalkeeper and we've trained our entire lives together, is somebody could bounce ideas off of. And we had the conversation of, do I go back to Philadelphia and be at home so we can train, or do I stay out here? And I know he was struggling to know if he wanted to play or not, or retire or not. And yeah, there's definitely some conversations there. And one of those things where he was just motivating me to keep going. And even though we didn't have a game in sight, and definitely some useful knowledge. And he had a really good season last year when he came to Philadelphia too. And I know he got beat by Memphis pretty bad last year, but he still enjoyed it, and he had some really good games.
I noticed in the goalkeeper of the year montages, you were the only one of the three finalists that actually caught one of the hard shot balls. Everybody parried everything else. So I know you've got hands like glue. I know that your brother is a terrific keeper as well. Did you guys just run rampant on the neighborhood dodgeball scene?
Yeah, we have a good arm and a good set of hands, but there's some good athletes in our neighborhood as well, so it made for a good time.
Man, there's a lot of talent up in Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia Union has been able to put a lot of great folks through there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of my buddies that kind of came through the system are still playing, and it's good to see because you have connections in almost every city now, so if you want to take a vacation, you'll have a friendly face there, so it's still good to see.
Can you talk just for a minute? And Kyle Morton's joining us, goalkeeper for St. Louis FC, and he'll be coming to Memphis this weekend to take on Memphis 901 FC. That match will be seen on ESPN Plus. Can you talk a little bit about the PDL? I know that USL is going to be cranking up their academy. They've got League 2, League 1. They're very proud of this. Can you talk about what the PDL meant for your development and maybe getting some extra reps?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in college, the college season's so short, and I think it's August to maybe November, and then you have a spring season, but you're not really developing at all because you're only getting so many hours on the ball and not really competitive, meaningful games. But when you have PDL, and I know there's a lot of people watching, scouts and coaches that are watching PDL games at the next level, and to get into a good PDL environment is so important for development because now you're competing with the very best at the college level, and there's some older guys as well in there, and it's just really good for exposure for the next level and just good for your development in total.
Wanted to ask you this before we go today, Kyle. Do you keep gloves, your goalkeeper gloves, in the glove box?
In the glove box? No, I actually, I'm one of those guys where I don't really, if I have a good game with the gloves, I don't really keep on them. I honestly, one or two games I'll wear them, and then I'll pass them off to a young fan and kind of see the smile on their face and just kind of make an impact on their life.
You know, I lied. I'm going to ask another question because I noticed this past weekend that there are some fans that are back, and I know that Memphis, along with St. Louis and other municipalities, are kind of having to go week by week on whether or not they have mm-hmm. fans in. Can you talk about what it means to at least have a few fans at your matches? I know before the shutdown, you guys had a very good following there, but St. Louis is so rich in soccer history going back to the 50s with the World Cup team and beyond. Can you talk about the fans of St. Louis?
Yeah, I mean they're fantastic. It's pretty cool to see when you have a good game and they all try to chat with you either after the game or on Twitter or Instagram, whatever it is. And the fans in Pittsburgh were great as well, and the fans in St. Louis are just so invested in their team and they just love all the players. And honestly, they just want to see us do well, really. And even if we're doing poorly, they're still having our backs, and it's really awesome. But in regards to having the fans in the stands, it's been awesome too because it's not just. There's still an atmosphere. When we're in Indy and Louisville, they have 3,000 or 4,000 people, but it's still an atmosphere where you get a little juice before a game and a little bit of butterflies because you know there's people in the stands. And even this past weekend with St. Louis, even though it was 94 degrees or whatever, they still were able to show up and be vocal and be heard, and it was really good for us.
And you guys rewarded them. It's sitting second now, 3 points behind Indy with a match in hand, and Indy's going to have another match. So, you know, heading in before the end of the Memphis match, you may have two matches in hand. So you guys are doing quite well kicking off in Group E. My co-host texted me just a couple of moments ago. We've got World Soccer News coming up in just a few moments, Kyle, but he wanted me to ask you, we love watching matches that are set in Pittsburgh because of the river and the train tracks. He wanted to know mm-hmm. if that train coming through at random times scared the crap out of you during the matches.
Yeah, during the matches it was loud, and it's one of those things where you can't really communicate with the fans, or not the fans, but the players, and there's a little bit of challenge with that, but it was always fun. But I always thought it was funny whenever we were at practice and Bob Lilly was trying to coach us and the train would come by with the horn and he'd have to stop what he was saying and we'd just have to sit there until the train rolled by, and just something different and something that I always cherish in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's a special field, and of course the folks in St. Louis, it's a special place for you to be as well. Kyle, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. Good luck moving forward. You guys are making great strides in Group E, not to be overlooked. I know that people are talking about Louisville and Indy, but you guys are right in the thick of things and proved a point this past weekend. We wish you the best of luck. Stay safe, and hopefully get to catch you on the TV very, very soon.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me on.
And that takes us to the half. More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
When you're buying or selling a home, it can be one of the most stressful times of your life. When you're purchasing a home, it's one of the biggest investments you'll ever make, and you want to get it right, and you want to know that you got it at a fair price and not have buyer's remorse as you're moving those boxes into the house. If you're selling, you want to make sure you get a good price for it, and you're able to move on quickly and move on to your next stop in life. I'm Tim Van Horn, licensed realtor in Tennessee and Mississippi with Cry Like Realtors. My number is 901-756-8900 in my office, or you can always call me on my cell 901-262-5000. I'm relocation certified, and whether you're moving around the block or around the world, I can help you get where you're going. If you're thinking of selling your home, give me a call. I'll put together a marketing plan that'll help you put that sold sign in the front yard faster. If you're thinking of buying a home, give me a call or check me out online at timvanhorn.com for a personalized home search. And I never, I mean never, charge a fee to work with buyers. So give me a call at my office, 901-756-8900, or on my cell at 262-5000. You can always find me on the website at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. For Tim Van Horn, Cry Like Realtors.
There's the whistle. Go, go, go. Second half, my three subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
I can't believe we've gotten to a point, Brody, where we have final standings.
I know.
That are actually final. Not final as in like March 12th final, but as in like they played all the games final.
Well, yeah, and speaking back to March, when we thought it would never happen.
Yeah.
You know, we thought that was it. That was done. We should be happy with what we got.
Well, they can no longer have the talk. Well, if we don't finish the season, Liverpool's title will be null and void. They played they played all 36 games, yep. Or 38 games.
38 games, yeah.
And Liverpool, of course, on top. The final standings for the top four, Manchester City, who will get to play in Champions League, finish second. Manchester United finishes third, and Chelsea finishes fourth. So Frank Lampard, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, doing a pretty good job for their first full year, right?
Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Surprising for some people in that arena, saying that, you know, give them a grace period year. Well, when you finish top four, I think that grace period year looks pretty darn good, because what's expected next? Winning it all? And, that's in their sights, being top four like that.
So Champions League for them. Leicester, who was sitting second or third, gets caught by a few teams, and they drop to Europa League to fifth.
Do you think it was a little bit of complacency with Leicester?
I don't know. It could very well simply be a case of they went into the pandemic on a little bit of a slide and didn't have time to recover their mojo before the break hit. And then you leave with not much momentum. You come back with not much momentum.
Yeah. Leicester, if I was Leicester, I'd be disappointed with the season. Finishing fifth, obviously having that strong start and being in the second position. Finishing fifth was disappointing, I would say. But not as disappointing and quite honestly just amazing for Aston Villa.
The last four matches of the season, they were on fire.
I wrote them off. I had them written off. If you go back and listen, I said Aston Villa was the one getting relegated.
Norwich, we knew that they were going to be. We knew around Christmas time that they were probably going to face the drop. You had.
I'm going to say this with respect. Norwich didn't have a snowball's chance in hell.
It was not good. Well, they're repeat offenders.
Right.
Watford's a repeat offender. They're going to be going down. Bournemouth finished up 18th. The odd thing is Bournemouth and Watford did not play all that badly the last couple of weeks, but too much of a gap to overcome.
Yeah.
Aston Villa moves up by a point. They got a draw with West Ham on the last day of the season.
Yeah.
And they did what they needed to do. And I know this is so odd, but I've always been a big Pepe Reina fan because he was great goalkeeper with Spain.
Sure.
Great goalkeeper with Liverpool. And wherever he's gone, he's been successful. Of course, now he's at least a part-time keeper with Aston Villa.
Right.
And it's just fun because he had some fun videos during the downtime.
Yeah.
Kind of playing along because his head is shaved.
Right.
But his dance at the end of the last game of the season in the dressing room was a sight to behold. Pepe Reina, I know that, his days, he's kind of winding things down, but he's enjoying every minute of it. And you got to love, you got to respect a guy.
It's what it's all about.
Every day by the horns and just rides the bull.
Exactly. It's what it's all about. having fun out there, and he's the embodiment of that right
now. And how do you not like a guy named Pepe?
I know. I'm happy that Aston Villa saved themselves. If I was Bournemouth, I would be very disappointed in the last, I would say, three games minus the last two.
Now, let's get personal.
Okay.
This Saturday is your club's only chance for European football.
Yeah.
And that's by winning Saturday's FA Cup against Chelsea.
Right. Chelsea versus Arsenal. And I am so torn. And let me tell you why I'm torn, Tim, is because I do like Chelsea. I really do. I like Chelsea. And namely because we got a USA boy on the squad.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard to cheer against Chelsea. Obviously, there can't be a draw. So, that being said, of course I'm going to go for Arsenal. I'm going to hope, though, that that our boy does well. But I just am so torn in this match, dude.
No, you're not. You've got to pull for Arsenal. You have to. You're an Arsenal
fan. Oh, no, I have to. No, I'm telling you, I will be cheering for Arsenal. However, you know, it's just not going to be easy. It's never easy to cheer for Arsenal, by the way.
If Chelsea wins this match, they're already in Champions League, so that spot would actually, I believe, fall to either Tottenham, unless they've already got a spot. I may be missing that, but I know at least Tottenham would have a shot. Maybe an outside chance of Wolves getting that spot at 7th. Arsenal sit 8th, so they must win this match in order to get into some European football.
That being said, they will lose. I'm saying, if you want Arsenal to win, they will lose.
Well, let me ask you this then. If they were to win the FA Cup, although they finished 8th, better season than Tottenham?
If they win it, yeah.
Because of the trophy?
Yeah. If they win it, yes. Just because of the hardware.
Better city or better year than Leicester?
Better finish than Leicester. Not a complete season. But that goes to both clubs. Yeah. I would say draw at that point.
But that would be a nice feather in the cap of Mikel Arteta.
And I'm happy with Mikel Arteta. I'm hoping that, you know, we talked last time of, you know, where does Aubameyang go? Does he need to go? And my answer at that time was, yes, he does need to go. He needs to get paid. But he needs to get paid, and I think Arsenal needs to pay him accordingly, because the last few matches, he is their only striking force.
He tied with Danny Ings for sec for the Golden Boot, Jamie Vardy winning that this year. Very prolific season for Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Congratulations to him. Kevin De Bruyne, to me, probably the player of the season in the league. I mean, that many assists, only Thierry Henry has had such a great season when it comes to doling out the assists. He's a complete player. Let me throw this out at you.
Okay.
Before we move on to the championship, who's your manager of the season? You can give me a top two or three if you want.
You have to go Jurgen Klopp. I mean, Jurgen's put together like a whole package, you know, and to win that handedly, that starts from the top, works its way down with a squad just believing, you know. So Jurgen obviously deserves the title, and he has the hardware to prove it.
Okay.
Who
would be second then?
I mean, I'm a little biased with Arteta, but I don't know. I don't know who would be a close second.
You know what? Let me give you some leeway. Let me give you a top three. That way you're not so torn. Give me your top three. You got Klopp at number one.
Mikel Arteta.
Number two?
At Arsenal. And then who's over at Chelsea again?
Lampard.
Yeah. Frank Lampard, you know, it's hard to say that he's not doing a good job. I mean, look at his results, you know, and putting together a squad. Obviously, he's had to fight through injury and adversity, you know, kind of that whole game.
Transfer ban,
yeah, added to that whole mess. So, yeah, I mean, I think those are your top three right now.
It's a pretty good top three.
It's easy. I cherry pick, you know, obviously, but low hanging fruit.
Mind if I take a shot?
Sure.
In no particular order.
Okay.
I Klopp for what he.
I mean,
you have to be careful with that because he's built the dominant teams, and if you're going on a year by year basis, he still won it, and they won it going away. So he deserves to be in there, if not the winner.
Right.
I'm going to go with a guy that was pretty much left on the side of the road for dead in January, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Oh, yeah, he did turn that club around.
I mean, they pushed into third place. They passed Chelsea. True. They passed Leicester. They passed Tottenham.
And with a Man U squad that, quite honestly, couldn't care less at the beginning of that season.
Some of this has to do with the development of Mason Greenwood. Some of it has to do, a lot of it has to do with Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah.
Newcomer of the year,
yeah,
to me.
I agree.
He's fantastic. So I would say Klopp, Solskjaer, and then for punching above his weight, I'd go with Chris Wilder of Sheffield United. They finished ninth. They just came up, and they still played his type of ball. He's kind of he's not a loosey-goosey guy, but he used to manage non-league football, so he's
relaxed. Come up,
and he's been true to himself,
yeah,
and true to his roots of football. So for me, it would be Klopp, Solskjaer, and Wilder. Wilder would not be my manager. You'd probably be Klopp, and then followed pretty closely by Solskjaer.
You have to give
Klopp.
You have to.
Yeah.
So. I mean, it's hard not to.
Yeah. So it's been a fun year, and it's great that we've got conversation that we can talk about some managers and even right. leave some off that have been doing a great job. I mean, Pep, through all the adversity.
Right.
I mean, honorable mention, and still in the running for Champions League, and we'll get to Champions League in just a moment, but let's talk briefly about the championship. Leeds United and West Brom are on the way up into the Premier League. The playoff is underway.
Right.
Fulham leads Cardiff right now 2-0. They won on the road in Wales earlier in the last week or so.
Right.
The second leg comes up Thursday at Craven Cottage, and Scott Parker, the former West Ham, former Tottenham midfielder, is the manager of Fulham, and he could be bringing them to the Premier League if they don't blow a 2-goal lead.
Right, which is possible.
In the championship, it's high-flying. Oftentimes can be high scoring.
And what did we the line that stuck in my head is there's no bigger, there's no more dangerous lead than a 2-0. Because that one is the one that you kind of start resting your laurels on.
I don't even know what laurels are, but for those that rest on them, shame on you.
Yeah, because you get beat up when you do. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get to Champions League, we do need to mention that Juventus has now mathematically clinched Serie A. They are the champions once again for the 86th consecutive year. No. It's been several years. I mean, well, Inter's been in there, and Lazio's had some good years too. But Juventus is champion. Inter Milan, Atalanta, Lazio finish out the top four. The question really is who's going to finish second and all that, but it does look like Inter's kind of got the inside track to finish second. But all four of those get to go to Champions League. Roma finishes fifth. They go to Europa. Now, talking about European football, Champions League begins on August the 7th. The knockout stages resume, and we have a little bit of breaking news. Thank you. I stepped on the music bed there. Probably should have done that.
It's just mine.
But as has been discussed during the shutdown, Turner abandoned the Champions League. They just said, screw it. We're not going to broadcast it anymore.
Leaving an X and a night.
CBS has stepped in to fill the void, but it's a little disappointing because you're not going to be able to catch any of these matches on over-the-air network. You'll have to go to CBS All Access.
Yep. CBS treating Champions League as, the side piece.
But a lot of it is because of prior commitments on CBS Network. They carry a ton of golf.
Yeah.
They carry some other sports in there as well.
It's so exciting to watch, too. Golf, oh my gosh. Between that and paint drying, can't wait to watch golf.
You don't like to watch the red streak behind the ball?
Yeah.
Remember like the old hockey days on Fox when they would have the streak behind it? It's like the play is already over, but here comes the red or the blue streak behind. Friday, August the 7th, this is where they kick it off on CBS All Access, and they may still have that 30-day free trial. I'm not sure if they do or not.
Well, if you haven't used it for the NWSL, you can use it here.
Yeah. Manchester City and Real Madrid kick things off, and Lyon and Juventus. Or on the first day. Yeah, and then Barcelona the next day, Bayern Munich and Chelsea in their round of 16. And even the final on August the 23rd will be on CBS.
They're not even putting that on network?
It's going to be on CBS All Access and CBS Sports Network. That's at 3 o'clock Eastern.
Oh, CBS SN, I think you can get that on some cable.
Okay. So not a total wash.
Not a total wash.
All right. We're cheap, so. Hey, don't you guys complain. You getting this podcast is free.
Yeah.
So quit your moaning. Let's see. Europa League resumes August the 5th, I think they're down to the final 512 teams of the knockout stages of Europa League. La Liga is complete. Of course, we already know that Real Madrid edged out Barcelona there.
Right.
Let's talk NWSL. They got through their Challenge Cup, and starting in the round-robin games, or I guess you could call maybe, I don't know if you call it the group stage games.
World Cup games.
But in the four-game group round, North Carolina Courage were the dominant team, but when it came down to the brass tacks in the finale, it was the Houston Dash winning the final over the Chicago Red Stars 2-0. So congratulations to them. They got their season in. They're not going to have a follow-up to the rest of 2020. They'll just start fresh in 2021. They basically kind of gave a sampler to everybody. It's like, hey, come check this out. And it was fun.
Houston Dash came out to me on fire in that match too, by the way. Like, they were whoever said something in the locker room had Houston as soon as they got to the final four matches or whatever it was. Boy, they just looked dominant. So props to them. Kudos. Can't wait for 2021, because if that's just a taste of what to expect from the NWSL, that's good soccer.
Yeah, it was great to see them get through that, finish it up, and they are done for 2020. MLS is back. They're into the knockout stages, and
surprises along the way.
The finale will be August the 11th, and this week, did you see the Cincinnati-Portland game?
I stayed up as long as I could. That game went extremely too late. It was 11:45 here.
See, I thought the kickoff was like 2 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
They play at some odd hours, even now.
It's so late. And then it goes to kicks, right? Yeah. And I'm struggling at this point. And I'm like, how is it going to kicks? This is the same Cincinnati team that couldn't figure out if they had their boots on right. And
they posted the wrong picture of their new manager, Yap Stam.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they literally couldn't figure out if, you know, who's on keeping and who's whatever. So for them to come out so strong later in the tournament, they started rough and they've kind of found their stride here.
A little bit of confidence too.
Yeah, and that's what I mean. Like, you start seeing them come out on the pitch like, oh, you know what? We are a real soccer team. And so it was good to see. And then when they were up against Portland, I thought that was in the bag for Portland. I mean, they're a really good team, Portland.
Yeah.
And for them to put up a fight, and as strong of a fight as they did, come into kicks, good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. So Portland moves on from that. Cincinnati, though, interested to watch, because once this tournament's over a few weeks later, we'll restart and have several more matches as part of a regular season for MLS, which is kind of exciting.
MLS is back again. MLS is back, all right.
That's like Backstreet Boys.
That's what I'm saying.
They do need a hashtag for the kickoff.
I know. We need to discuss that in added time. We'll put your thinking cap on and we'll come up with something.
I don't know if I have enough time to come up with a good idea, but we'll give it our best shot.
We'll think of something that's better than what they're going to put out.
Yeah. Minnesota United moved on. The Loons continue to play on. So MLS, we'll continue to watch that. That's on the ESPN networks. And the finale is going to be on August the 11th. I believe it's down now to the final eight as we record this. Let's talk about the USL Championship. Frequent midweek to weekend scheduling now. So, I mean, these matches are coming fast and furious now. At least, 3 or 4 days a week you can catch matches, because you got the Wednesday night ESPN2 match of the week, and then Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays we're seeing some matches scheduled across ESPN+. I saw a great match this past weekend. St. Louis hosting Indy 11.
Yes.
And that was a terrific one. Of course, Kyle Morton was involved in that, goalkeeper for St. Louis FC.
That was a fantastic match and surprising. I mean, I was blown away by that.
How fast-paced was that was that match? You know, Indy loves to run with the big dogs, because they got a lot of dogs on that team that can play. St. Louis did not seem intimidated. Tyler Pascher played just the last 30 minutes. He had played at the weekend, the full 90-plus. He scored that match winner at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
He played just the final 30, but still, he got plenty of touches out there. St. Louis got a lead and were able to hang on to that against high firepower of Indy 11.
I'm going to be honest with you.
St. Louis is for real, man.
St. Louis is for real. And they go toe-to-toe with those big dogs and obviously bring down Goliaths.
Yeah, so that's two consecutive shutouts for Kyle Morton and the St. Louis FC defense. They come into Memphis this weekend. And let's talk about Memphis.
Okay.
As we had social distancing, a crowd of about 1,000 got to come to the match over the weekend.
Yep.
And
stadium always looks good. It looked weird, obviously, because if you've ever seen a Memphis match, you know that they packed the house. Last season, it was a packed house every single match. Yeah. And so that's what you looked at on TV. Obviously, everybody being social distance, that 7,000 plus was knocked down to 1,000. And it was 1,000 people, clearly. As everybody was socially distanced, it still looked like a decent crowd.
Yes. And they played Charlotte Independence, had the lead twice. Charlotte Independence came back twice, ended up with a draw. A guy we've had on this podcast, Enzo Martinez, got the assist on the first goal off of the free kick that was sent into the mixer for a header. A good night for him. The Brandalorian, a good night for him. Opening goal.
Again.
Yeah, career goal in the USL Championship, number 51. Yep. And then we see Reese Buckmaster with the go-ahead goal for 901 FC.
I'm going to say this. Props to Charlotte Independence keeper for having long fingernails.
Oh, Brandon Miller?
Brandon Miller, because Keanu Marsh Brown twice saving off of the fingernail of a couple kicks.
Well, if he had long fingernails, I don't know if he's got them now because those might have been bent back because those came in hot and fast. Keanu Marsh Brown helped set up the first goal as he went down the wing. He got tripped. He kept playing on. He was able to get the ball distributed away. And the next thing you know, you blink, and there's Brandon Allen with the first goal of the match. I noticed that Keanu came off midway second half. Seemed like maybe he picked up a knock. We'll see if he plays Saturday. And I'm sure he's going to be up for it. He's been playing well. I think he's making others better around him with his energy and his speed. I think he's played very well. I thought Rafa Mentingen, the Brazilian, came on for an hour. Thought he was terrific and very dynamic out in the field as well. And the more I see Cal Jennings, the more that I like.
That
you know, I don't know how long he's going to be out on the pitch. I know he's been getting short spells, and now he's getting a little bit of a longer leash.
Right.
I'll be curious to see if he's going to be working maybe at some point in tandem with Brandon Allen, or maybe they're too similar. Maybe you sub them out, or maybe depending on the defensive formation, maybe that you make a tactical switch. But I like what I'm seeing out of Cal Jennings.
Yeah, well, here's the other worry, Tim, is that when Keanu Marsh Brown made his exit, so did Brandon Allen. And so when those two went off the pitch, is that gassed? Or, you know, what happened there? I'm hoping it was just gas, running out of gas.
We'll find out this Saturday night as 901 FC hosts St. Louis FC. It will be on ESPN+. It'll also be on channel CW30 in Memphis. Pete Pranica has the play-by-play. I will have the color analysis.
Beautiful team
for this match, and we can't wait. We think it's going to be a very exciting match, especially with St. Louis, because you look at Louisville, you look at Indy 11, you think, okay, far and away, there's your 1 and 2 teams. No, St. Louis has a match in hand, 3 points behind Indy, and they've split their series 1-1 apiece. So St. Louis is right in there throwing haymakers with the rest of the division.
Yeah, records-wise, St. Louis is very dominant coming into Memphis, and could be interesting.
It's going to be an interesting match Saturday night, and it looks like interesting times in Atlanta United 2, a previous Memphis 901 FC opponent. They had a draw with them a little bit more than a week ago. The manager, Stephen Glass, has been named the interim head coach of the big club, Atlanta United. He replaces Frank DeBoer, who might have been the most hated man in Atlanta because they did not win every game 6-0, and they lose a few games, and out the door he goes.
Atlanta's one of those clubs, though, like Portland is, you know, or Seattle, where they're very rampant fans. Have you noticed that? Like, when they play down there in Atlanta, and you're like, whoa, what is happening? Oh, it's a soccer game. Don't worry about it.
Well, and some of the videos of where Jose Mourinho has been slamming Frank DeBoer from previous days when he managed in the Premier League.
Right.
Those have been mysteriously, all of a sudden, magically popping up on people's Twitter feeds.
Right.
But that's what we've got for this week. There's your world soccer news. Coming up, a little bit of added time on My Three Subs.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Hey, it's Tim. Just reminding you, this podcast is now powered by Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Brody and I want all of our time going into making the podcast as entertaining and as interesting as possible for you. So that's why we ditched our old services, made the switch over to Podcave. This is the complete podcast management, combining all the tools we need to make the best shows we can, to make them available on all the platforms you use, and to always stay connected with you. Podcave provides unlimited audio storage, so all our episodes, new and the old ones, are always available whenever you want them. And our website, it's included and built into Podcave, so you always have a place to find us. It's that easy. Music and soundscapes we use on the show are professionally made and fully licensed by Podcave, so we don't worry about getting sued for using music without permission, and we know for sure that the artists who made it, well, they're getting paid, and that's always a great thing. We get email and text management tools to stay in touch with you, guest booking tools, episode planning tools. Podcave even includes customizable news feeds so that we can stay on top of the latest headlines. We used to have to piecemeal all that stuff, and it took hours. Believe me, it took hours. It costs hundreds of dollars every month, and we had to have all these different accounts to really get the podcast to you. Well, that's all changed with Podcave. It's all in one place, and it's all inclusive. You're going to scratch your head, and you may even have to scratch your ears when you hear this. It's all inclusive for just $49 a month. That's right, $49 a month. Podcave, the complete toolkit for podcasters. Save time and money with your first or next podcast. Don't be afraid. Give it a try. Use Podcave. That's podcave.com. That's P-O-D-C-A-V-E, podcave.com.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
Tim, you brought it up, so I'm blaming you for this.
Thanks. What did I do now?
I've got the scratch paper out, and we're trying to come up with a name for the MLS is back when the season is back. Hashtag. So MLS is back is their new slogan, right?
Which would have worked well for the regular season if they had a tournament name hashtag.
Right. Except they went with the, you know, hey, I'm sitting on the toilet name and MLS is back, hashtag MLS is back, whatever, tournament.
Don't knock it. That's where some of my best ideas come from.
Well, clearly whoever was coming up with this one didn't try hard enough or wasn't pushing hard enough, because this is what we got. Anyway, that being said, we need to come up with a name for their actual season start.
Wow.
No pressure. Because let me tell you something. Anything we come up with is going to be 200 times better than MLS is back. Hashtag.
Hashtag MLS regular season.
Okay. I'll give you hashtag. I did like MLS is back all right. Just because you could play on that so hard.
And because they have a team in Orlando, you could probably get the Carters.
That's what I'm saying.
From Backstreet Boys to do a little jingle.
You could play up that, you know, a little bit. I think it'd be fun.
Have Lance Bass come out from NSYNC to, you know.
Maybe in a space
suit. Just a whole boy band thing.
Yeah.
I mean, get that vibe going.
Get it going. Or you could say,
hashtag Vela is playing.
Yeah. I think that'd be the reason to watch. Or hashtag 25 and still going.
That's not bad.
25 and strong. Because it's the 25th year.
Hashtag silver fanniversary.
Oh, hands down. We need to quit this. Hey, if you've got a hashtag for us.
One more. Hashtag more of us will try.
You can
hashtag we're now match fit.
You can send us your hashtags. We are at My Three Subs Soccer Pod on Instagram. We're at My Three Subs Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. You can shoot us an email. We are at mythreesubspodcast@gmail.com. And then check out that website, mythreesubspodcast.com.
Big thanks to Kyle Morton and St. Louis FC for sharing some time with us on the podcast. Solid guy. We'll see you Saturday night on ESPN Plus as Memphis 901 FC hosts St. Louis FC. It should be a doozy of a match. It's outside of each team's group,
yeah.
But there's a lot to play for both clubs. So we'll see you then. In the meantime, have yourself a great week. Stay safe, and thanks for listening to My Three Subs.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, a soccer odyssey.